I would say it's not a normal year. I don't even know if there is such a thing as a normal year.
That's Fish and Game Area Management Biologist Tim Sand speaking Wednesday about the Togiak herring fishery that opened Friday, April 28th. That was probably a week sooner than expected, though the industry was ready after last year's record early start.
The first fish were spotted on the 24th by a spotter pilot that was over there, and then there was a little fish around on the 25th and nothing on the 26th. And all of a sudden on the 27th, they're like, oh, there's fish everywhere. You know, we got to get this thing rolling. And so then we flew on the 28th and did document threshold biomass and opened it up.
The first real harvest came in Saturday with the four processors and 19 seiners bringing in about 2,000 tons a day at a steady pace. Through Tuesday, the seiners had landed 10,000 out of their 16,000-ton quota. Togiak herring are large comparatively, with average weights above 420 grams, and the roe average has been just under 11% so far this season. While the fishing has been steady, Sands thinks the herring have been a little slow to fully move into the district and start their spawn along the shoreline, which he noted on a flight over the district Tuesday.
There was some washed-out spawn that had happened previously in Ungalithlik Bay and behind Tongue Point. And I've talked to the spotter pilots, and that's about all they've seen. So there hasn't been as much spawn as we would have expected. And again, I lay that to it's just a little bit colder than the herring would otherwise like it.
The Togiak herring fishery doesn't have near the participation that it used to, nor is the catch as valuable as it used to be. Back in the heyday, Fish and Game might make several helicopter surveys each day and ran sampling programs to find the ripe fish and target them with tightly managed openings. Then there was that one time, back in 1992, when in one 20-minute opening, the seiners caught a staggering 20,000 tons of herring.
And that completely overwhelmed processing capacity, and so you had boats holding fish in nets covered with tarps, trying to keep them from dying so they could hold them long enough so the processors could come back with an empty tender and pump them. And 5 days later, they were still trying to process the fish from that one opening. And obviously, that's not good.
As the years went by, fewer and fewer boats fished for Togiak herring and fewer processors bought the catch, and the market value has gone down so low most gillnetters don't even bother anymore. Now the daily capacity of the four processors more or less dictates the pace of the harvest, and Fish and Game mostly leaves it open for the buyers to determine if they're catching the amount and the quality they want.
We know they can't take the whole quota in a day, much less, usually it takes them 10 days to take the quota. And so there was no incentive for this huge Olympic-style fishery. Also, the processors formed their own co-ops within their fishermen where they kind of share everything that's caught. So there's less competition between the fishermen.
Of course, if one company should find a different product to market the herring for, other than roe and fish meal, that newfound balance could get quickly out of whack. The other issue with Togiak herring is that there's just so much of it. The seiners will probably haul in their 16,000 tons this season, and it's possible the few gillnetters will chip away at their 7,000-ton quota. Year after year, the market seems to be telling the fishermen that the more they catch, the lower the price will be. But that doesn't seem to stop anybody from landing every last net full of fish. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.